The Gaming Grunts present a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition campaign, Storm King's Thunder.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 19 of Storm King's Thunder, brought to you by the Gaming Grunts. Woohoo!
Wow, 19.
Last we left our intrepid adventurers, they traveled with their newfound ally, a fire giant named Harshnag, to the Citadel Felbar, where the party met with the king and queen and explained what they were, what they had discovered. And the king and queen requested that they, maybe take a look into an issue that they have run into when they get time, and presented them with a gift of a pair of figurines of wondrous power. They were golden lions. At which point the party took their leave and met back up with Harshnag, who had not entered Citadel Felbar, and in conferring with Harshnag, determined that the higher priority currently was to make the trip to the Eye of the Allfather. At that point, the Harshnag and the party split to allow Harshnag to make a direct trip to their meeting point, which would be the Valley of Kedron, to the east of Mirabar, and the party would take a shortcut via the teleportation circles from Everlund to Mirabar, and then travel eastward to the valley. The Frost Giant felt that he could, Fire Giant felt that he could travel faster without the party, so he could probably meet them there right about the same time that they arrived as well. And then the party headed off, and when we last left off, they had arrived at Everlund. And that's where we pick up. So, adventurers, what would you like to do? Crickets.
I'm waiting for our brand leader, David / Aggie.
Okay.
To give us the birthday directions.
Okay. Well, let's see. We've got a couple little items we need to take care of. Obviously, we can't take our horses with us, so we should probably stop by the stables, talk to the same guy we left them with the last time we went to Mirabar, and take care of them. Unfortunately, I don't know how long we're going to be gone, so do we want to sell our horses, or do we just want to put them up for like maybe 2 weeks and work out things when we get back?
When we come back, we will probably head up to, I forget what it was called, that
Iron Slag?
Yes, the forges, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we will probably need them again, but yeah, who knows when. I am not attached to this horse in the sense that we kind of just took him. Yeah, we were instrumental in saving the town. They probably owed it to us, but it was kind of just like, thanks for the horses, bye. So I guess we could sell them, make it less difficult to think about it.
I mean, yay, we got plenty of gold, so I'm fine either way.
Oh, so you're going to donate yours. Okay. You donate yours.
I'm not
sell mine.
Donating mine. I'm just saying that whether we spend the gold to house the horse or stable the horse versus sell the horse and buy it back. I mean, is a horse considered equipment? Do you sell it for half the?
Yeah, it basically is. Yeah,
man.
To be a horse
seems. I don't know. I guess it's fine. What's the party think? Sell horses.
I lean towards sell, just so we don't have to think about it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I've got saddlebags as well, but there's nothing in them, so I'm not really.
Tankrin is a mastiff, right?
Yeah, he doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, so who all has horses? How many? You have three or four horses?
Four.
We have four horses. Everybody has a horse except for Tankrin.
Okay, right.
And then, but technically, like we were talking about, Sanswood might not need one because he could just
wild shape into a horse.
Wild shape, maybe not a horse, but like one of the animals.
Yeah, but it only lasts for an hour. So I mean,
if he can wild shape into a horse, then you only need two horses, right?
No. Yeah, but like I said, it only lasts an hour. So
that's true. Yeah.
Theoretically, he could do it twice, so he could get 2 hours before he'd have to take a short rest.
Yeah,
and then he could do another 2 hours, but that's, you know, a far cry from an eight-hour day. But
No.
I mean, to be honest, having a horse or not having a horse in a lot of ways doesn't really make a bunch of difference because typically horse travel versus, you know, overland foot travel is at roughly the same speed because you're not trying to kill the horse. So
right.
He can carry a little bit more stuff. This is going to be carrying some gear as opposed to you. So, you know, if you were encumbered, having a horse might make a difference. But, you know, we're not there yet. So, you know, I'm fine either way. However we want to do it, I just want to update.
Yep. I say we just sell them. And then if we need to, buy them when we return. I mean, saddlebags, you wanted to hold on to them like that. That, I assume, doesn't require ongoing storage fees.
Right.
But they cost, some friends they cost 4 gold, so we can get 2 gold for them. I mean, I'd just rather sell it and not have to worry about the 8 pounds of weight.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the downside.
Yeah.
It's like 8 pounds, yeah.
Sell horse, sell saddlebags. And what, I can't remember what time of day it was when we arrived here. Was it...
I think it was at the end of the day. It was, if I recall correctly. I drew on the map
our path, so it could walk backwards from it. But
I would say whether it's the end of the day or like midday, because I can't remember if we had like a half a day when we started. But I would say the best thing would be stay the night here or zip over to Mirabar, stay the night there, and then plan on leaving Mirabar the next morning. However we do it, whether we just zip over and leave out in the morning or we go over now, stay the night and zip out in the morning. Does that make sense?
Your guys' call. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Let's head to the stables, sell the horses.
So, all told, with all the tack and saddlebags and whatnot, you're able to get 160 gold, I'll say, for the for everything, for the four horses and all the equipment, which, you know, kind of makes it easy to divide. Also, so everybody
40 gold apiece
for Tankrin.
You have your mystical horse.
Yeah, it's fine. No worries.
So you said you are going to, you're going to make the trip to Mirabar and then spend the night.
I mean, I'm fine either way. If we want to go there and stay the night, or stay the night here and then just take the teleporter first thing in the morning.
Honestly, we don't have any reason to be in this town, so I said just...
Mirabar is a little funny, so I don't know if we want to like stay there more than we need to. Or at least that's what I hear from going through there the first time. It's just, they're a little anti-magic and a little weary of outsiders, and I think it's because of where they're positioned between the Frozen North and the quote unquote South.
Everybody's fine.
Stay here overnight then and go first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Okay. There was an inn that you stayed at locally.
If we're in Everlund, I would suggest us go back to Danavar's house and stay there.
Danavar's house, that's right. Yeah,
because that's where we need to talk to, what's his name, Draw?
Yeah.
Get us back over to the Moongleam Tower.
Mm-hmm.
So if we stay there, get up first thing in the morning, tell Draw what our plans are, so he'll be ready with the wine for breakfast.
That's right. Wine for breakfast. Nothing like a little wine for breakfast. All right. Yeah. You arrive at the at Danavar's house, and you're greeted warmly. As soon as you, I assume you explain what your plans are, at least generally.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, if you're leaving in the morning, I'll be happy to comp you rooms for the night. So he gives you three rooms, complimentary. Apparently it's a slow night and he has the space. The night is, you get a good night's rest. If you guys hadn't since the last encounter, I'm sure you have, but go ahead and make sure you've taken your long rest. You get up, nice and early in the morning. I assume.
Yeah.
I don't want to prevent you from, sleeping in on your birthday.
hey, it's my birthday. It's not Agador's birthday.
You're greeted in the morning. Your continental breakfast includes small glasses of wine.
When we get to the Moongleam Tower, I would like to ask the, I guess, quote unquote, the mage on call. I'm hoping that the initial mage, I can't remember the name of the initial mage that we spoke to originally that gave us the information about Iron Slag. But I would like to ask him if he has any insight on the Eye of the Allfather. I know Harshnag told us a little bit about it in the Oracle, but I just want to see if there's anything that that mage could tell us if he's around.
So you go over and take your, do your drink the little wine and teleports you over to the tower, to Moongleam Tower, and sure enough, the Archmage Crowan Valharo, thank you. It is indeed there, doting about, playing with magic items and whatnot. He says, "Welcome back. Where are you off to this time?"
So we've met a frost giant who's trying to help us in our quest, and by the name of Harshnag. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's supposedly known in this area.
Yes, I've heard tell of Harshnag. It's good to know that he's on the job.
He made
quite a name for himself when he was part of when he helped to defend. Baldur's Gate, I think it was. Fill in the blank with the city that he defended. pretty sure it was Baldur's Gate. I'm drawing a blank now.
Yeah, but he's basically told us a little bit more about the ordaining, and he realizes that there's some things that are amiss, and he's trying to help us as much as he can to look into the same things that we're looking into and help set things right. So we are supposed to be meeting him at a place called the Eye of the Allfather. And he, of course, is traveling overland, where our plans are to take the circle to Mirabar and then take a couple days journey outside of Mirabar to meet up with him on our way to this Eye of the Allfather. He's told us a little bit about it, but I was hoping maybe if you've heard of it, maybe you might know some more.
That doesn't ring a bell. It's it must be something ancient. I don't have any information about the Eye of the Allfather. I apologize. I can send word to the Harpers and see if we can dig up some additional information. But at the moment, I have nothing for you.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it anyway. If you could direct us to, actually, we've been to the circle here. So I guess if everybody's ready, we can head towards the circle and make our way to Mirabar.
Okay. The apprentice that is on duty managing the circle you know, kind of brusquely watches, come, you know, step lively, and he gets you all in the circle and does his little magic, and whoop, you beam up and beam down back to back to Mirabar, where you appear in the now familiar stable house, where the teleportation circle is housed, in the loft of said stable house. As you appear, the circle's attendant there is once again in his standard position, sitting on a stool, leaning back with a piece of straw in his mouth, and you know, just kind of being lazy, perks up, and he gestures you all to make your way down, and he does his little peek out the door, look around, make sure nobody's watching or nobody suspicious is around, and ushers you out. Out the stable door. So you are in Mirabar. Is there anything you would like to do before you depart?
I don't have anything. If the rest of the party is ready, I would say let's start heading towards the easternmost gate to head out.
Yeah, that sounds good.
My horse is here.
Well, I assume it's a mountain pass, so whether
or ponies then.
Well, yeah. There'll be a trail to, right. You'll be traveling a few days, not on trail. This will be off trail. Following the river along to get to the Valley of Kelron. Kedron, excuse me. I keep wanting to mispronounce that. In fact, not only do I keep wanting to, I keep doing it. There are no roads per se.
But I'm assuming it's pretty flat ground. It's not.
It is
mountaineering, or
it is like foothills. So while it is not, you're not going to be doing any, you know, any rock climbing. You know, it will be as easygoing as, say, you know, plains or whatnot, but you'll make good time. Based on the maps you've seen, it will probably take you 3 days to arrive at the Valley of Kedron.
And what's the temperature and everything like?
It's a great question. The spite of the world gets quite cold at night. Go ahead and make an intelligence check for me. How about
for me?
Yeah,
that's funny. We're screwed.
Maybe his birthday, but it's still not his primary stat.
Can I at least make a survival check?
you could make it survival, but I'll let you make it survival. It is all about
that I've got a little bit better chance.
Absolutely. At. Yeah. Yeah. If you could give me an argument for me.
Sorry.
No. We'll be fine. Should've... We got cloaks.
It'll be tropical in the mountains.
Perfect. It's summer.
Come my on. Sandals it, cover it is, 10% of the top of my feet.
And then you realize it's really kind of getting into fall. But you think, yeah, it's okay. We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Hey, Agor is not the brightest.
So nothing else you need to do?
I guess not. The giant will provide.
All right. So go ahead and let's head out and let's do our little travel here. I assume standard marching order.
Yep.
Traveling order. And
I will bring out the point that my tiny hut does say that inside of it is comfortable and, let's see, what does it say? I'm trying to remember. The atmosphere inside the space is comfortable and dry regardless of the weather outside. So, you know, at worst comes to worst, then maybe I'll get inside and warm up. Maybe that's why Agador's survival isn't all that great right now, that, you know, hey, it's snowing, so what? Throw up the hut. It's raining, throw up the hut. Hurricane, throw up the hut. Earthquake, throw up the hut.
Okay, so like I said, it's gonna take about 3 days to get to your destination. What is EOTA?
Eye of the Allfather.
Eye of the Allfather. Okay, I see. Okay. All right. That's okay.
So it's going to take 3 days to get to the valley, or it's going to get 3 days to get all the way to get to the
valley. You're not traveling, you know, nicely groomed roads, and you're really there it is. Yeah. Okay. All right. So somebody go ahead and make me a d20 roll for day one.
Screw that if you're asking me. My rolls suck.
and you know, you're using the tiny hut every night, right?
Yeah, that's still the plan.
And you have no horses, right?
Yep.
I am not going to even bother rolling for nighttime encounters. you're in a indestructible shell. I don't think there's any point. I
mean, indestructible and invisible, no?
Well, it's not
undetectable, but invisible.
Potentially camouflaged, kind of thing. So, yeah, because you can make it match the surrounding color, but it's all one color. Yeah. All right.
But they can't see us inside. I will say, if the first night that we're here, we're going to be roughly about 2 days from meeting up. If Toph wouldn't mind doing ascending to Harshnag, just to get an idea of, hey, we're about 2 days away. Where are you at? If Toph's okay with that.
Yeah, I can send a message. Pretty much like what he said, do you guys want me to actually send a message?
Type it out with all due regard, exactly the language you'd use. Sign it in blood, whatever the verbal equivalent of blood is, or I guess the mentally verbal.
Mental blood.
I'm going to say, Ashnak, Toph here. We just left Melabar. Where are you?
And you quickly get a response. I am arriving today at the entrance to the valley of Kedron, which I pronounced correctly this time.
Do I know, does Toph know where the Kedron is?
Valley of Kedron. Yeah, that's your destination. Where you're going to meet him? It's basically at the end of the blue line that I think got drawn. That someone drew on the map. He'll arrive slightly
ahead of us.
ahead of you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, somebody's going to lose. I don't want him to be like they're, you know, days and days and days ahead of us, and then go, okay, screw these guys, they're slow.
Okay. So day two. Let's go ahead and roll for day two.
I'm still not rolling.
Yeah, someone else gonna roll?
Yeah, I'm rolling.
Yeah, Bala, you roll.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Again, the day goes by uneventful. So really quick here. You do start noticing the weather is getting cooler. At night, it is dipping down into near freezing. But your cloaks are able to keep up. You actually don't notice because you got the hut. And the daytime is pretty cool, but it's sometimes in the 40s. So sometimes you're huddling in your cloaks and trying to stave off the winter weather. Now go ahead and roll for day three. Let's have Tankrin, Jeff, roll for this one.
Yeah.
Three. Nice low roll. The day, you know, it's still pretty cool, but today is gotten a little bit warmer. It's a little promising. At least in the daytime, it's around 50 degrees. Doesn't drop below freezing at night. It's a bit cloudy, which helps. But toward the end of this day, you arrive at the opening or the entrance, or what do you call it? The mouth of the Kedron Valley, the Valley of Kedron, where sitting pretty high on a hill nearby is a rather large campfire, and you quickly ascertain that this is where Harshnag has made camp in a fairly obvious location to make it easy for you to find.
Do we see him or just see his campfire?
Yeah. As you approach, you see him sitting on a log next to the fire. He hears you approach and raises a hand in greeting and says, welcome. Are you ready for an adventure?
As ready as we're going to be.
And he kind of looks you guys up and down, and he kind of nods, and he goes, yeah, I thought this might be a problem. And he opens a large bag that he carries, and he pulls out five bundles, and he kind of throws them at the ground at your feet. And you can go ahead and add clothing, cold weather. to your equipment.
See, Agador's stupidity saved us from having to buy cold weather gear.
Yeah, that's right. I was not going to let you go into the mountains without cold weather gear. It was not going to happen. That gets complicated. if you get stuck there, an accident, that's one thing. But
we're adventurers, not intelligent explorers, you know.
I mean, we're used to dealing with the South. It doesn't get that cold. I mean, and if it does, we're usually not far away from a nice warm inn somewhere. And
he's like, travel while the Valley of Kedron is the easy way to get to the Eye of the Allfather. It is a treacherous journey. It is fraught with perils between the weather and the residents, so to speak, of the spine of the world. So let's you know, keep sharp, and keep an eye open, and we can hopefully make our way. It'll probably be about a good 5 days' journey to get to the Eye of the Allfather. It is slow going, and will take us some time. So let's get a good night's sleep and get started first thing in the morning.
Sounds good. I'll put up the hut.
Well, all right.
Once everybody's ready and get around, I put up the hut.
All right. Yeah. So yeah, you spend a nice cozy night in the hut, and you're refreshed in the morning. I assume you guys go ahead and head out.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and start making some rolls. The first day is windy. You are immediately glad that you got the cold weather gear. The weather drops down below freezing. It's quite windy. It feels like it feels bitterly cold with the wind, at least based on your experience thus far with cold weather, which is limited, at least in this kind of an environment. You managed to keep warm with your newfound clothing, the day goes by fine. Sounds good, Ball. So let's go ahead and assume you know, just make a standard stop for the night, stay in your warm, dry, tiny hut. Simplifies a lot. And let's go ahead and make a roll for day two.
Do we need to roll through the night since
our I'm gonna pass on the nighttime ones because you're in the hut and
nobody's gonna mess with Harshnag.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody messes with well, and I suppose they might.
And messing with a frost giant in the frozen mountain seems like probably.
He's a fire giant, but yeah.
He's a frost giant. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a frost giant.
He's a frost giant. I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. He is a frost giant. I've been saying fire giant this entire episode. You're absolutely right. Which actually makes something a little more logical anyway, but something else.
He's probably like right at home in the cold here. So.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I completely bin that one.
I was going to say, if you wanted, you could theoretically make us roll at night. And if anything, if we did trigger an encounter, you could check the encounter and go, nope, they wouldn't attack Harshnag, and just kind of call it nothing. But if it's something that you felt might, you know, try and say it at Harshnag, then
I've actually been looking at the chart at the tables. Uh-huh. And I decided that the things that would come out that would be logical, the encounters that would be logical to make at night, I felt like were not threatening enough to make value. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. It's funny because
a lot of times they'll have like something that's like, you know, if you roll roll for an encounter, and then you roll like whatever the highest in the encounter table is. Usually, it'll be something kind of juicy to fight. So,
there are absolutely some good actually, the funny thing is, the highest thing on this encounter table are just fellow travelers, which I wouldn't even put on this. I don't know. Maybe if you had like a double lot or something like that, or if I rolled like a double lot, but. This is a particular environment. Anyway, so that was roll for the second day. So the day is is much calmer than it was before. You have nice clear skies. It's a little bit cold in the teens Fahrenheit, of course. But again, you know, it's your cold weather gear is much more adept at keeping you warm, and it is not a problem. So the second day goes uneventful. Let's go ahead and roll for the second or the third day. Okay. This day is again a clear, calm day, but you notice the temperature as you're getting up in altitude really begins to get very, very cold, and cold to the point where I would actually like you guys to make. Where is it? Where did I get? Where did it go? I had it right here. Dang it. All the weather stuff. Where is all the weather? Where is my weather stuff? There it is. I would like each of you to make a Constitution saving throw. Yeah. Ooh. And
we're all fine.
And that's you. What do you have? What's your adjustments? Tufts Constitution adjustment. It is plus +2, so you got a 10. I'm sorry, it's a saving throw. So you have +6. Oh, you're fine. Lillian and Agadir.
Okay, never mind.
So one thing I noticed about the cold weather gear when I added it, and you can overrule this or whatever, but it does say that
I was just reading this and it has to be much colder to get past cold weather gear. You're good. Forget it. I was reading this wrong. So
Agador and Lillian get really bad shit, but other than that.
yeah.
We're basically going, man, I'm glad it's not much colder than this.
Right, exactly. So I think, I read this a little backwards. So you're right. Yeah, there's no need to worry about that role. So I will.
It's a hint of what's to come.
long as cold weather clothing remains dry, its weather automatically succeeds on saving throws against extreme cold. Okay, all right, right. So yeah, unless you run into a snowstorm or something like that, it's not.
So tomorrow it will rain.
that's all dependent on the RNG. I do not determine that. So okay, so day three, it passes by just fine. Let's go ahead and roll for day four.
Conveniently, the RNG is only visible to you.
It is.
How about Sanswood makes this roll?
So we're day two of three into the mountains, right?
No, you're day four.
This is day four.
Day four, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because these are only day rolls, Alan, not night rolls. So.
We're skipping the night rolls. Yeah. Another fairly windy day. Not too bad. Not as bad as it was 2 days ago, but it's warmer than it was the day before. In fact, one of the warmer days since you entered the valley. So it ends up being a fairly good day of travel, you have no problem. Let's go and roll for the last full day of travel. Okay, And let's see what the you guys are in good shape. It's it's a little chilly today, but your new gear holds up just fine. And you end the day, at the end of the day, you haven't quite made it to the Eye of the Hallfather, and Harshnag indicates that we should arrive by mid-morning the next day. It is a very short distance from here, but this is a good place to make camp. And we'll make camp here, and then make our way in the morning into the Eye of the Allfather when we're all fresh and rested after a night's sleep.
On our journey here, have we seen any wildlife? Have there been any like deer or anything that, like, if we were hunting for food or anything? Or has it been pretty?
There's certainly been wildlife, elk, deer. There are, small game like rabbits. You have seen in the distance, in the distance the cry of what Harshnag indicated was one of those crag cats, which are those white cats you encountered, you almost encountered, or who took one look at Harshnag and didn't encounter. So there is wildlife up here, both predator and prey. If you ever find yourself in desperate and dire need of food, there are possibilities. That meant all that prep work I did was for nothing. and no, it's not for nothing. Okay, let me grab these guys. Copy them. And in the morning, Harshnag gets you guys up fairly early, and he's like, I just want to make sure that we're all fresh and ready for delving into the Eye of the Allfather. At which point he begins to lead you further down through the, there it is, can't find it. Okay, good. That is indeed. Bog Ward, so to speak.
It's awfully dark here for midday or mid morning.
All right.
we're in the middle of an eclipse.
That's right. Where can I go? There he is. Okay. The contrast on this is terrible.
All I see is magical darkness.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Bear with me.
Toph's new Hunger of Hadar has a lot greater area of effect than I could have imagined.
okay.
Fourth level Hunger of Hadar.
What are the size of these squares? Oh, wow. No, really? 20 feet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm trying to scale things appropriately. That's close enough. And then now I can reveal.
All black.
Yeah. Why is it? Okay, reveal. Reveal what? What's it not? What is it? Why is it not reveal? Okay, we're gonna.
Do you have to have a roll 20 subscription to test out the like DM features?
There are some of them that you might. Like dynamic lighting, you probably
if you're just playing with maps type stuff, then yeah, you can do quite a bit of it. They don't have a whole lot of assets as part of what's their free plan, I guess, and you're pretty limited in what, if you try to like upload your own map, they have a pretty low, like 5 megabytes or 10 megabytes worth of
that's the whole business. Makes sense.
But just to give you an example, the solo campaign that I'm doing, I'll just kind of like sketch out a rough outline of a map because they got like the drawing tools. So I'll just draw on a grid, you know, just to give me a general idea of where my characters and the monsters are. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, that works out pretty well. I mean, it's definitely not as pretty and everything else, but as far as just, you know, think about if you had like a dry erase grid where you just kind of took some markers and, you know, drew the general outline of where things were and marked where your characters were. That's all I was really using it for. And it works pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not as nice as having like, you know, pre-drawn maps and everything ready to go at a moment's notice. But since it's solo, it's all on me to go as fast or as slow as I want.
There you go.
Yeah. And a lot of times I'll draw out the map as I need it. So I won't have everything. If I don't go certain ways or whatever, I'll just kind of sketch out where I'm at. Kind of think of like the old pen and pencil or pen and paper days where like as you're going through and you're like, you know, your character or players are mapping out the, you know, what they see and where they're going as they're going.
Yep.
You know, we've done that too. So I kind of, you know, take it in that direction when I'm playing if I actually need it. And if I don't, then I just kind of wing it.
I don't know if anybody's ever played the old game HeroQuest, but it had a similar, like it was a board game, but it was a very like open kind of create your own type game as well. You could buy the campaigns, but then you could also just make your own by just taking some graph paper and they give you a board with some pre-laid out rooms, but then you could just connect the rooms with hallways and doors and different furniture elements that they gave you. It's actually a pretty cool game. And I think they had a Kickstarter to remake it. My brother bought it. I did not because it was like $250.
Oh wow.
As you get toward the very highest point of the valley, Harshnag turns off to the north and begins to heads off this area that drops off precipitously, and there is a 40 foot wide stone causeway. It looks like a natural formation that has sheer cliffs that just plunge hundreds of feet on both sides as you're walking. It's 40 feet wide, so it is not it is not a dangerous journey. When you get to the end of this causeway, which is it's quite a distance, you arrive. It's slow going. You're now in. You're now in true mountains with snow and snow and ice. So you're looking at, you know, trudging through a foot of snow. Actually, one of the things you notice is that there are fresh tracks that lead toward the mountainside. As you approach the entrance to the Eye of the Hallfather, where the causeway ends, there is a huge stone dome carved out of the mountainside. There are six, and you can see them arrayed here. There are six 30-foot tall stone pillars supporting the dome. Each one of these pillars is carved with a wraparound bas-relief, and each depicts a scene with giants. From north to south, there is a hill giant lifting a rock above his head. And then next to it is a frost giant chopping down a great pine, cloud giant flying among birds in the sky, a storm giant hurling lightning bolts at a ship, a stone giant climbing a mountain, and a fire giant with a chained dwarf prisoner in a cavern. At the back of the dome, you see a 40-foot wide, 40-foot high hallway that leads into the mountain. Wind has blown snow far into the hallway, but the snow thins out and disappears after about 100 feet. The tracks that you notice continue east into the dungeon complex. Oops, you didn't hear that. So, what would you like to do?
I was gonna ask, like, if they are like a giant sized trap. So.
If they are what?
If their footprints are like a giant sized.
They look like normal size. Go ahead and make a survival check.
Not bad.
Yeah, they're human. I'm glad you rolled that. It looks like there were probably about somewhere in the neighborhood 8 to 10
humans,
something like that. You're not sure exactly. So what would you like to do?
So I'm gonna ask the group, like, do we wanna scout it before we go in, or like should we just go in?
I mean, personally, I'm fine with letting Harshnag lead the way. This is his place, and unless he wants to wait outside and have us go inside and explore, but I don't know exactly what we're going in to look for or anything. So if he's coming in with us, then I would say
Harshnag is most certainly going to be coming into the Eye of the Allfather with you. It seems like he would like to make sure that he is present, not just let a bunch of, as much as your allies, he doesn't want a bunch of humans running amok in a giant temple that is sacred.
Yeah, I would say to Harshnag, you know, unless you have an objection, feel free to lead the way and we'll follow.
All right. Let's see. So Harshnag will agrees to this, and he begins the journey into the tunnel or into the hallway. As you walk through the entrance, the ceiling vaults up to 60 feet high, and gradually slopes down as you go. Wait a minute. 1 second. That doesn't make any sense.
The dotted line is the like dome, right?
Yes, it is. And I'm my brain just broke based on what this is saying. And toward the it kind of slopes down. Toward either side, as it gets close to the sides of the hall, it slopes down to about 40 feet, and I thought I had this all set, and they're actually missing. Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. I know. All right. And the floor begins to descend. I'm sorry. The ceiling begins to descend as well. Toward the end of the hall, which I will reveal for you. Okay. And it, yeah, I don't know. I need to reveal more of that. Sorry. And there are, as you can see, there are niches carved into the back of the wall. And there's a ledge that is 20 feet up, which is represented by the lighter colored section. And there are along the back between each one of what looks like pass-throughs for the wall, there are niches that are carved in the back of each one of those sections. And each one holds an iron sconce that radiates a faint aura of magic and light that bathes this area and in a dull glow. That's about it. As you walk in, you continue on, continue down the hall. 2046. And you get about halfway. And you begin to see flickering lights in the distance. Oh, my scale is off. Holy cow. That's interesting. All right. Good to know. So, that's more like it. Okay. As you see flickering light in the distance, it seems as though perhaps someone is there. And you begin to hear grunts and groans, which sound rather human-like. is that suggesting you're casting Pass Without a Trace, or
I'm thinking.
Okay. All right. What do you do? It's rather dim, so you can't see super well, but.
Can we tell at all if the grunting is like, oh, I'm dying and in pain grunting, or?
Make a perception check.
You don't know.
What's Marshnag's demeanor?
It's hard to tell. He looks concerned. He pauses, and he says, "I don't know what you know. I don't know why anyone would be here. They shouldn't be here. But we may want to proceed cautiously."
When we're back, we'll follow your lead.
Okay, since he said to proceed cautiously, I'm going to cast Pass Without Trace.
Pass Without a Trace. Okay.
You're in your head as well. Like, do you guys want me to scout the area before even we go in?
Scout the area with.
I have a spell scout it. We don't need to actually go in.
Yeah, that could work.
That's a high level spell.
Okay. It's a high level spell. I mean, I could always cast invisibility and try to sneak in as well if we want to do that.
No, I think I can. This is a psionic spell for me, so I could use 4 meta magic options to.
So this is this arcane eye?
Yeah.
Create an invisible magical eye with range that hovers in the air for the duration.
Floating
has normal vision and dark vision up to 30 feet. The eye can look at every direction. As an action, you can move up 30 feet in any direction. There is no limit to how far away from you the eye can move, but it can't enter another plant cell. But the eye can pass through an opening as small as 1 inch in diameter. And it's invisible, so very nice. Okay, so you're gonna go ahead and do that.
Yep, using my meta magic. I can. It's a psionic list, so I'm catching it through my sorcery points. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You cast your spell, and immediately your vision becomes that of the eye, the perspective of the eye, and you move forward, and as you do, you start approaching the end of the hallway, and you see a very large staircase that that slopes up, and or that slopes up that climbs up to a set of huge double doors, and you see 8 humans. Wearing various types of skins and whatnot, they are pushing on the doors. It appears that they're trying to break through the doors and get into whatever is beyond.
I count 9 on the map, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. one of them also has, along with bigger of all of the, large, still human size, humans, has a wormling, what looks like a very small dragon, with him.
Oh, small dragon.
I think we can kind of count this like a dungeon, too, and now we're finally there. We've made it.
Dungeons and dragons.
Yeah.
It only took how many years?
Hundreds of hours. We've done it.
That is so funny.
I'm going to ask the group to say, like, do you want to talk to them? Or, like, do you want to just attack them? So,
I assume you explain.
Yeah, I'm explaining. Like, explain what I saw.
This whole thing that we see, we don't actually see. This is what Toph sees, and she can't.
Yeah, really, I just imagine.
Harshnag, his face kind of goes dark, and he's like, those are Earth Uthgarts. Tribal clans that just pillage and plunder. They are no good. There is no speaking to them.
No. Okay.
We need to take care of them.
Charge.
Does he know anything about how they control the small dragon under their care?
If there is a wormling with them, it must have been enslaved somehow. The only way that I know that a wormling, a dragon, even a wormling would be willing to, or would be, you know, would be with one of these peoples if it was by force.
Okay. I want to kill some girls that are in our order, but like, I want to check like what the group thinks. Like, if everybody's ready, I can just put an area spell. Like,
are these ranges correct, John?
Let me see.
If I measure from me out to, like, I'm assuming that wormling is the one up front. That's like 280 feet.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Each square is 10 feet, roughly?
No, they're not. One square is 20 feet.
Like the little square is.
So there are little squares, and then there are, the bigger squares. So yeah, it's hard to see the little squares on this one.
The little squares should be 5 feet.
Should be 20 feet.
Little squares are 20 feet. So we're like,
the big squares are 80 feet.
So we're like 500 feet from them?
No, wait. That's not right. No, that's not right. Yeah, they should be. It says one square is 20 feet. But
okay, that's
square, on. That's, it's the bigger square. The bigger square is 20
feet. The bigger square is 20 feet. So there's roughly 4x4 inside. So our normal square should be 5 feet. But I think when I measure.
Yeah, let me change
from one to one. It's 10 feet, so it's like twice the.
Come on, give me soul distance. Try it again.
There it goes. Yeah, that's 5 feet now. That makes a little bit more sense.
All right. There you go.
So, is there anything that we know about the Uthgard?
Make a history check.
I've rolled so badly, and I'm continuing to.
Now you're not very familiar with the Uthgard.
Do I, at the very least, know if they speak, you know, common?
I mean, they're human.
Most humanoids probably speak common.
Probably.
Yeah. Even if not more than, you know, a few words.
So are we going to talk to them or attack them?
Well, I mean, you can do both, no?
No, like we will lose a surprise round if we're gonna talk to them. Then, if not, like we could.
How dimly lit is it? I mean, can we see them that far away, or is it too dark? I know you're relaying kind of what we're seeing based on what Toph's arcane eye can see.
Yeah.
But is it like dimly lit that we could still make out?
It's more brightly lit around them. They have actual torches, lighting that is helping them, work on these doors. And actually, they should all be over here because they are actually pushing on the doors.
I think I could. If we want to surprise them, we can do that.
If they're mostly all up by the door, I mean, they're 100 and almost 200 feet away from me. I've got 150 feet on my fireball, but I'd have to close the distance 50 feet.
We can approach stealthily.
Stealthily? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't.
Anyway, about 100 feet.
I just fear that, like, walking down a smooth stone hallway, there's only so much stealth you can achieve.
I know, but they're up on the staircase, so we still have some blind spots.
And Sansford has passed without trace as well, so we are plus 10 to the monastery.
Yeah, but there's limits, right? Like
it is very dimly lit. It is shadowy. Yeah.
But we also have a giant with us in a hallway.
Yeah,
a constructed hallway.
I mean, the big guy can't.
How much exactly can we hide?
give me a perception check, Lillian.
Alan, I think you're not. God,
no! I have to roll again.
That's good. That's good. You actually, looking around, so because of these ledges that are 20 foot up, and the placement of the lighting, there is some shadow that's cast at the sides. And you feel like if you were to leverage that shadow, it may make it possible for you to sneak, especially with the magic of the druid.
Yeah, I'm also spreading. There are shadows around me, okay? Based on the description.
Yeah, I would say like we could get a little bit closer and then do a surprise round before they take the chance.
Or we can make the giant surprise then and distract them.
My suggestion in character is if we determine this small dragon to be the biggest threat, I think we should do our best to ensnare it first.
Not to free it? Okay.
But, I mean...
Where is the dragon? Is it?
It's not. The dragons are not commonly held as pets. No.
This is the.
And I assume that's because they are independent creatures.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are
powerful. Forces their independence.
They're willfully independent. Yes, they are.
So.
Yeah.
We may free it, but that doesn't make it our friend.
True.
Well, make me a.
But it could be the enemy of our enemy.
Watch out. Which one?
Either one, whichever you want. History and nature. You guys were talking before, and I noticed you had made a history check on the Uthgard thing, Sanswood.
Yep.
And I didn't ignore that. You have heard of the Uthgard, and they are commonly raiding parties that that raid settlements in the north quite frequently, and they're known to be a problem.
All right, makes sense.
In society, you get killed.
I think we need to sneak up a little bit, friend. Like, I think, do you have snare on you, like ensnare or something? Like,
I have ensnaring strike, but I have to hit it. Probably... And then there's also a strength DC save, which isn't like going to be super difficult. I think my DC is only for the spell is only like 11.
I think we could just do a surprise round before they have a chance to attack us, I would recommend.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine as well. I also have silence, which prevents any sound from emitting. So if we can, like, cordon off half the group, if they're not paying attention, we could potentially take out half the group without the other half even noticing.
And if I cast Anger of Hera, like, that's going to cast darkness on them too, so...
Yeah, but then they're going to know, right?
Are they gonna
when they start dying.
Yeah. They can...
And that, to be clear, that's all fine.
Agador just goes, hey, we got a giant. How hard can this be?
Yeah. Charge. He's angry. He don't like them.
All right, well, let's speak up closer, and then who wants to start the fight, and what do we focus first? To be clear, everyone but Toph does not see, like, we don't actually know exactly where they are, right?
Right.
Oh, you guys see the light, right? Like, but though.
I mean, the flickering light. Like, yeah, they can't make out the individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Toph has basically told us that there's what the eye has seen, but as far as like specifically where things are and whatnot, we just know that they're off in that distance. We see the flickering torches, but we can't really make out exactly where everybody, where all the enemies are. So either way, we need to get closer. We're out of range for spells. We're, well, maybe except for Miss Shooty Shooty. The rest of us need to get closer. So I would say my take is let's try to get within roughly about 100 feet, give or take, and sneak.
Okay. Is the Pass Without Trace spell still active?
Yeah.
It is.
We need to...
He just cast it.
Yeah, concentration for 1 hour. So.
Yeah.
But there's a radius of effect, right? We need to be in that.
The radius.
Yeah, you have to be within 30 feet. So
yeah, with me.
Yeah, we're within 30 feet. So I mean, 30 feet would stretch all the way across the hallway if he's in the center.
So we go here, right? Like over here. Somewhere here.
Oh, about where your arrow ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you gonna go straight up the center, or? Is that or along
if the
side?
Shadow, if the shadows are near the side, then we should probably congregate to one side and then just move in the shadows.
It's gonna be a tough high DC if you just go straight down the center. Granted, you know, Pass Without a Trace, you know, it does a lot to conceal your advancement, but
By the way, I cannot select my token. So.
All right.
I don't think anybody can yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. We're moving as a group, so John could probably just move us until we're actually ready to fight.
Yeah.
Unless he wants to switch everything up now, then we can...
I still concentrate on the Arcana. Like, do I see any changes, like, as you walk in? I'm going to hold on to one of them, like, either Lillian or Ender, to get me near, because I don't want to lose the concentration.
They just seem to be doing basically the same. They're pushing... against the against that door and trying to trying to get it open. It doesn't appear that they're making a whole lot of progress at this point. These are gigantic doors.
Should we all just roll stealth, and then you can kind of give us an idea of how far we can get?
Go ahead and roll stealth. I'm in the process of giving you guys ability to
that's before my plus 10.
Yeah, before.
Yeah. So we got a 20, a 36, a 23, a 31.
What is the DC for this? Sneaking up. That's a group DC of 14.
21 for tinkering.
These are not with the plus 10, right? No.
Yes.
Right. They are. Oh my God, they are.
No.
Holy cow.
No, not with the plus 10.
No, yeah, these are not with the plus
10. They're not.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So it's 20, 36, 23, 31, 21. Oh yeah. Yeah. You're moving. I think this is, okay, this last one is.
John, do you want to roll for the giant tool?
Yeah. Give me one second.
Unless we did so good
okay,
that he
now you should be able to move your tokens. Harshnag, stealth is going to be dexterity.
No, I cannot select.
Good enough. Good enough. So yeah.
I would say move Harshnag, and then we'll just position him behind.
How close are you trying to get?
Probably about 100 feet. I think that's, at least my opinion, pretty good. That's a good range.
But also not in the middle, right?
We're going to be on the one side. So pick a side, either side. And
I think the opposite side of the front of the dragon.
Okay. So yeah, that's kind of already 100 feet. So I'll put you guys. Now you're probably going to want to go single file here, right? So, or, you know, along the edge or something, or are you going to kind of,
I was thinking about potentially going on the opposite side and staying out of vision initially.
Oh, okay. So split the group between left and right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep in mind that if, Sandswood is on the far side, then if you're on the very far side, that's going to be more than 30 feet. Because it's 40 feet across, so
Pass Without a Trace, you have to stay within duration.
Yeah, you have to stay with me in 30 feet.
Yeah, so I mean, you can't just be all the way against the wall, but if you're like 5 feet off the wall, you'd still be good.
Where is the wall?
It's the
dark line. Yeah,
dark line.
Oh, I see. Then the hallway is.
It's 40 feet.
40.
No, the dark line, like right next to Harshnag, just north of Harshnag is the wall, and then right where Lillian is the other wall. Yeah. So
from here
to here is 40 feet.
So as long as I'm in, like, by the way, I still cannot select my token.
Yeah, I think John has Sandsword and I reversed. I can select Sandsword token, but I can't select mine.
And then it puts you into the. No.
So this is a 30-foot circle, so.
Well, it's 30-foot radius.
It's going to be centered.
Radius.
30-foot radius?
Yes.
Oh, that's enormous.
I think this is good enough.
It is enormous, but if he's on the far side, then it doesn't quite make the other side. So.
Yeah. So I think this is. This is. I can cover all of you.
And that is Pagadur.
Yeah, but like if you're leaning against the wall and he's leaning against the wall, you'd be out of the circle.
Interesting.
Is that true? I mean, it's like literally like this size. That's a 30-foot radius. Yeah,
it is. So if I'm now like...
Yeah, so you can cover your scout way up in the front and, you know, the guy in the back that's, you know, pulling up the rear, whatever you call it.
Bringing up the rear.
So actually, you could be just slightly behind, slightly off the wall, and I think we're all covered. But yeah, either way, I did paste it up above.
You guys
I also have, what was the spell called? Spike Growth. So this also does a 20-foot radius. Which makes difficult terrain and anybody who walks through it and anybody who doesn't see it initially takes damage per 5 feet. So we probably should start with a surprise of like either Hunger of Hadar and this or silence to separate the group and then pick them up.
Fireball.
By the way, if you cast silence, we might not be able to cast a spell.
No, it's only if you're in the silence.
Yeah.
It's a radius thing.
Yeah, and it's not that big either.
Oh, okay.
I think it's also 20-foot radius.
Is it 20?
What's the range?
120 feet for silence, 150 for spike growth.
I can do entangle, but that means
120 feet. Okay. All right.
One action, 10 minutes.
So you'd have to select who you chose to
appoint. You choose within the room. Oh, okay.
What is? Oh, that's a circle. Okay, that's.
One drawback with Angrav Hera is that, like, I think they might hear some sound for 30 feet from rock rolls. Yeah. Some noises of slurping whispers could be heard up to 30 feet away.
Oh, okay. So it actually makes a noise, right? Yeah, it's kind of like...
They can hear up to 30 feet, yeah. So I would put, like, Angrav Hera on the top group.
Yeah, I was basically thinking about setting down the spike growth on the bottom of the stairs.
Bottom one, yeah.
150, you can cast it here.
Wow. I mean, yeah, I can. It's very far. And yeah, it's quite large. It actually surprises me that most of these things are radiuses. I feel like...
What is that in Greek? Okay.
That's a good question. What happened to the my UI changed and now I can't do some things. That's very weird. I can't measure.
You don't have the new UI up, do you? The beta UI or whatever?
I don't think so. No, I don't. Refresh, see if that helps. Anyway, all right. So, do you know what you're doing?
Well, I think we should walk up till we're in range. I will cast the ensnaring spike growth. It has a verbal component. So I don't know if exactly how that works for detection. And then also anybody who's paying attention to it, if they perceive it, then they're aware of it. But if they're not, if they don't perceive it, then they're actually not aware that it happened. Even though there's spikes coming out of the ground, I don't know, it seems kind of weird, but you know, magic.
I don't, this is stupid. Okay, all right. So I had, goofy things happening with this. Okay, so what are those circles?
So the green is the, if I cast it, the spike growth.
Okay. And that's a 40-foot radius?
It's a 20-foot radius.
So that's 40 feet right there. Oh, radius. No, that's, radius.
Yeah. Radius. Radius.
So it's 40 feet.
40-foot diameter.
Yeah. Words correct. Words mean things.
It's exactly the size of this hallway.
It is, which is actually super convenient.
And the blue circle is mine, which I probably should make it a red circle because that's my fireball.
That's your fireball?
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Yeah, you can also leave the blue circle there because even the other one, that's what I'm going to put it, like that's going to be a 20-foot radius as well.
You're going to put the Hunger of Hadar
on the top
in the same place as
the fireball. Yeah.
Blue. So you're going to be targeting the barbarians that are up near the door.
Yep.
And then the spike growth is going to be the green. So you got you're firing off Hunger of Hadar, fireball, spike. Spike growth. Wow, this is fun. basically all simultaneously.
Yeah.
Or okay. As simultaneously as we can.
As simultaneously as you can, yes. Yeah. All right.
Well, sorry, actually, hold on. There is a material requirement for spike growth, which I did not prepare for, so I'm going to assume I do not have.
Any material component that does not have a cost associated is assumed to be in your component pouch or
you have
on you. If you don't have a component pouch in your inventory, by this point, I'm going to assume you acquired one, and you can add it to your equipment. Almost every spell takes components.
Components for this one, and specifically for a ranger with a proficiency in the forest, like it's literally sharpened 6. So that's kind of like using your environment to your advantage. But
it's in the pouch.
It still makes sense. It's in the pouch.
Yep.
That is literally what I picked up last level.
I'll pull out one of my spare toothpicks and hand it to Lillian. That's technically a sharpened stick. I can't guarantee her that it's not a used one, but in a pinch.
Okay, so the question is, it is 10 of 6. Do we want to kick this off now and pause in the middle of the of combat, or are we going to pick this up when we start our next episode?
I think it probably makes sense to pick it up later.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
If we mess things up, it'll be good to remember what we messed up.
Yeah.
I am actually going to make note of where we are.
Because boy, I'm ready to roll some real bad numbers.
Number of Hadar and Fireball. Okay. All right, we've got those noted, and we'll start off next episode rolling initiative. And let me turn off the recording.